WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Israel-Hamas war will take a new turn as a short-term ceasefire agreement goes into effect soon. More hostages are expected to be released starting tomorrow. CBS's Natalie Brand is at the White House with the latest.
The temporary ceasefire was delayed a day while negotiators ironed out details. At least 50 hostages taken into captivity when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th are expected to be freed in stages in exchange for around 150 Palestinian prisoners, women and teens.
A Qatari foreign ministry spokesman says increased aid for Palestinians will start to enter Gaza as soon as possible. Thousands of spectators gathered for Philadelphia's 104th Thanksgiving Day Parade, the oldest in the country. KYW's Tim Jimenez was there.
It wasn't as cold like it was in years past, but it was a breezy morning, so people were bundled up, many of them with their turkey hats on. Parade goers were sipping on hot cocoa or coffee as the balloons and marching bands passed them by. Kristen Annucci and her husband and young kids were close to the start at 20th and JFK, and she said she savored all these moments.
Being with family and making new memories every year. And when we see Santa, then we know, like, it's official. The holidays are here.
Businesses in Santa Barbara, California are preparing for a Black Friday rush. Christopher Wood works at a business that offers a little rest in between store hopping. It's a barbershop.
We'll be open on Black Friday, and I know that we expect to be busy, and I know that we can accommodate all the shoppers that are out there.
The top elected official in one of the largest cities in the U.S. is denying allegations outlined in a civil suit that claims he sexually assaulted a woman in the early 1990s. CBS's Nancy Cordes with details.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams is fighting off an accusation of sexual assault going back 30 years. An unidentified woman filed the $5 million lawsuit on Wednesday under the Adult Survivors Act. Adams was a New York City police officer at the time.
CBS's Jim Krasula with the latest report on human-caused climate change.
The oil and gas industry, one of the major producers of planet-warming gases, will need a rapid and substantial overhaul for the world to avoid even worse extreme weather events fueled by human-caused climate change. That's according to a new report from the International Energy Agency. It concluded that the burning of fossil fuels will need to drop by 60% to give the world a fighting chance to meet its climate goals.
Digging to rescue 41 workers trapped in a collapsed tunnel in northern India is delayed due to a problem with the drilling machine's platform. The workers have been trapped for nearly 2 weeks. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If you have unfiled taxes, if you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The gun deer season in Wisconsin is heading into its final weekend. A proposed bill in the state legislature aims to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland is proposing $2 million for carcass disposal sites and $100,000 to teach hunters about the brain wasting disease and why it's important to dispose of carcasses properly. Today's a big day in Greendale. The high school band is marching in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. The Greendale Band is one of just six high school bands from around the country to have the honor this year. It's the second time the Marching Panthers are appearing in the Macy's Parade. The last time was in 2016. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. deal. As a matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and middle teens by sunrise with a north to northwest wind. Quite a bit of sunshine into Friday, highs in the lower 30s. Clouds are back, though, for Saturday. We'll see highs in the afternoon into the lower and middle 30s. It's 21 at our studios.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of Matt Flynn Direct. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. Development in the House of Representatives, you recall that Mike Johnson, in effect, did a Kevin McCarthy and passed a clean continuing resolution. No funny stuff, no poison pills, no right-wing social stuff. At the agreed-upon amount in the deficit extension, I should say, the debt extension bill last spring, agreed on between Biden and Kevin McCarthy, huge bipartisan support. Well, the same thing happened here, almost the same margin. 209 Democrats, 150 some odd Republicans, maybe less, and it got done. Well, not all was happy in paradise. The right-wing nuts, and there are a lot of them in that caucus, went ballistic. Because remember, of their caucus, 221 or two votes, they only had 90 some odd voted against it. And these people are angry. They're nihilists. They're vandals. They want to close down our economy. They want to close down our economy because they want chaos. They want to, they think, hurt Joe Biden. They just don't believe in America. In any event, they went crazy. Chip Roy, who's a real piece of work, I don't know if you've ever seen him, but if you do, he has that sort of half beard, maniacal look, got up on the House floor and just ranted and raved. And they got their initial revenge. And this is an example of what we can look forward to coming up. And then I'm going to talk quickly about what we can do to block it. He got up there. He screamed and yelled. Some of the others said, all right, we let Mike Johnson off the hook this time, but if he does it again, he's toast. This is one strike and two strike, three strikes, you're out. It only takes one of them to call the chair vacant. Then they got to vote again. And all they have to do is four or five of them have to say, no, we don't want him, and there's no chair again. That's what they're going to try to do. That's what they're talking about. And they did something. You could call it symbolic. I don't call it symbolic, but here's what they did. What they did was, whenever a bill goes on the floor, whenever the bill, any bill goes on the floor, there is a procedural vote first called a rule vote. In other words, these people are so full of themselves, and the Senate's even worse with unanimous consent, but don't get me started on that. That's coming up. But even in the House, they're fancy. They got to go, okay, we're going to vote on a bill. But now let's vote on whether we should vote on the bill. Just so you know, in the rule vote, even though you may have Republicans, or if the Democrats doing it, the Democrats maybe going to vote against it, they want to amend it and all that, you party line agree to the rule vote. So when Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, she had about the same margin that Mike Johnson has, even Democrats that didn't want to go along with it nevertheless said, yeah, that we'll vote for you on the rule vote so we can then talk about it and vote on it. It is almost unheard of for anybody in a political party to vote against the rule vote to permit the thing to go to the floor. Plenty of time for them to vote against it on the floor, make their speeches and all that. It's almost unheard of. Well, this time, Mike Johnson was going to put an appropriations bill on the floor. Because remember something. This extension, this continuing resolution, only goes till January 19 for four bills and February 2nd for the other eight. There are 12 appropriation bills. And the ones that expire on January 19, they think are unremarkable: agriculture, military, veterans, military construction, that kind of thing. The big kahunas expire February 2nd, and that's to give everybody a little more time to try to work something out. Well, this time on the rule vote, 19 Republicans voted no on the rule vote. So he could only afford to lose four of them. Nobody ever votes against the rule vote. That's procedural. That's to try to make them look fancy. But this time, 19 people in the Republican Party wouldn't vote for it to knife Mike Johnson. The honeymoon is over. Well, that means that when you pose the rule vote, I mean, the Democrats always will vote against the rule vote of the other side, because some of the bills that they're writing right now to appease the right wing are for less money than was agreed on back in the spring. So 19 of them said no, so nothing happened. They all left early, a day early for Thanksgiving. Hey, wait a minute. Thanksgiving, guys, isn't until next Thursday. What, you want to go deer hunting? I don't think any of them go deer hunting. You want to go buy presents, cook? No, they're not. They just got out of town is what they did. They just got out of town. Now, you got to remember something here in Wisconsin. On the continuing resolution, there were two congressmen that voted against it in this state, obviously two Republicans. And one of them surprised me. The two who voted against it were Tiffany. That doesn't surprise me. But Gallagher did. Gallagher voted against it. The rest voted for it. It looks to me like Gallagher, he's essentially a moderate. He says he's a moderate. He realizes he can't get to first base as a moderate, so he's trying to look MAGA. It's not going to work, Gallagher. It is not going to work. Because you are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't, and just trying to look slightly MAGA to appease whom? What, you think you're going to appease Trump doing that? He can see through you. He can see through you. Well, here's the deal. When they come back from Thanksgiving, it's only a couple of weeks to their Christmas vacation. Then when that's over, they have 19 days in January to pass four bills. Important bills: agriculture, veterans, military construction. These are important bills. What's going to happen is that Mike Gallagher is going to put in, I should say Mike Johnson, I have Gallagher in my mind because he voted against the continuing resolution, but Mike Johnson will put in a bill, and the rumor is that they're writing them to appease the MAGA people. In other words, to take a haircut over what McCarthy and Biden agreed to back in the spring. The Democrats aren't going to put up with that. And then the idea is that Mike Johnson will put in another, some clean bills, plus, I hope, a Ukraine bill and an Israel bill. And I got news for Mike Johnson. I don't agree with him. There are many things I don't like about him, but he's beginning, in my view, to look like a more skillful speaker than Kevin McCarthy, because he gives the MAGA people some rope, and then he does the reasonable thing, because he has no choice, because the Democrats control the Senate and Biden controls the White House. But if he does that this time, tries to put a coalition together of 209 Democrats and 157 or whatever Republicans, the Matt Gaetzes, the Chip Roys, will call it bacon. They'll call it bacon. They'll vote against him for Speaker. And I've got some word to the Democratic Party. This time, don't screw around. Give him the votes you need to put this guy back in. If he's willing to do, if he's willing to, in effect, govern from the middle, as unpleasant as he is on so many other things, like, what do you mean you don't have a bank account? What do you mean you don't believe in separation of church and state? These are core issues, but as long as he doesn't act on them, he can give all the speeches he wants in Louisiana, but we need a speaker who is willing to vote from, or willing to govern from the middle. We go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
It's just a theory, Matt, but here's what I think they're actually really getting scared of. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal, not very much of a Democratic newspaper, right? Banner headline, inflation cools, markets soar. And it goes on to talk about, guy from the federal or U.S. Economist from Goldman Sachs says, it now looks like the inflation fight is over. And there's all kinds of good news. And then the banner headline right under it, YG no longer brags about his economy in China. You know, Biden's had so much success that hasn't been properly given credit for. It's unbelievable. But I think they see that it's coming. And they'll do anything to sabotage it, even try and take this country down.
You know, that's a very, very good insight. Yeah, I did see that. And not only we've always said this, that Biden's done a better job on bringing inflation down than any other country in the world. This is a worldwide inflation, by the way. Like in the Great Depression, it wasn't just the United States, it was worldwide. But that what you are saying, and this is just starting to uptick, is that inflation is basically beaten. Now, there are different sectors. Food and groceries are one sector. Gas, fuel at the pump is another sector. But it's all coming down somewhat compared to what it was. And I think that when we go into the next election, and there's a realization that under Joe Biden, we beat inflation. We did the soft infrastructure, the hard infrastructure, the CHIPS Act, lowest unemployment since the Vietnam War. That is going to resonate with people. And I think you're right that these MAGA types, like the 19 especially, they're from the Freedom Caucus, the 19, who voted against a rule vote to even let everybody talk about something. That's very similar to Senate obstruction. That's similar to, a veto of unanimous consent. I mean, that's saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to filibuster this, so you need more votes. Well, in the House, you don't even get to do it with more votes. And I think that what's coming up, quite frankly, is that Mike Johnson's going to have to do something. And when he does it, they're going to declare the chair vacant, the speakership vacant. And when they do that, this time around, instead of screwing around saying it should be Hakeem Jeffries, which is never going to happen as much as I want it, because he's in the minority, give him the 19 votes. Go to safe districts where people can take it. Give him the 19 votes. Coming up, the Senate passes the continuing resolution, but there was a little stutter step.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Oh, right.
right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of Matt Flynn Direct. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, remember, it's not enough for the continuing resolution to pass in the House. It has to also pass in the Senate. Then it has to be signed by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's definitely going to sign it. When he gets back from San Francisco, I just saw his terrific speech out at that conference just now before he went on the air. But it did pass the Senate. It did pass the Senate. And as you know, the Senate has unanimous consent. It has filibuster. I was very afraid that one of them would do it. Tuberville, Rand Paul, one of these people. It passed 87-11. 87-11. Now, I think part of it is that with budget matters, they're not subject to the filibuster, and I believe they're not subject to unanimous consent either. So that is what, that worked out. You still never know what kind of tricks they're up to, but, well, it turns out, what? They were up to some tricks. They were up to some tricks because it's a budgetary matter, and they couldn't stop it that way. A lot of them piled on and voted with the Democrats. 11 didn't. But Rand Paul, what do you think Rand Paul did? Rand Paul put in an amendment with a 15% cut. 15% cut of all this spending. Now, it's bad enough that the deal that Biden and McCarthy agreed to, Biden sort of had to agree to it, was that it would continue to be funded at present levels, even though that meant an inflation haircut, because inflation is there. And even though, frankly, he's done such a great job, inflation is virtually whipped, but you still have inflation around 2%, 3%, somewhere in there. And it should increase by that amount, and it didn't. So in a way, that's what the Republicans were braying like donkeys about. Go, look what we did. We basically cut it 2%. Well, Rand Paul cut it 15%, the whole thing, in his amendment. Now, the good thing about an amendment is that you can talk as long as you want. Unlike the House, you can get up and talk. And if Rand Paul were young and in good shape and had plenty of sleep, he could have talked for 24 hours. That's what they did in the civil rights filibusters. You could try to do that in an amendment. But in this case, I think at some point, there is such cultural and institutional revulsion to screwing around when everybody wants to get out of town for Thanksgiving that he put it in so he can go back to Kentucky and say, I tried to cut it by 15%. Yes, I did. And then, of course, that got voted down and it passed 87-11. Now, Biden has to sign it. Biden right now is in San Francisco, but I think they can email it, fax it to him. I think he can sign it that way and then do a ceremonial signing back here. In any event, you know what the deadline was? The deadline was tomorrow, end of the day tomorrow. Once again, the Republican Party screwed around, damaged our bond rating, and added to the amount of interest we have to pay on our treasuries for no reason. No reason whatsoever. Just vanity, obstruction, nihilism. No good reason at all. Truly no good reason at all. A lot of breaking news as we went into this segment today, as we went into Matt Flynn Direct today. First of all, the jury just came down in San Francisco. And no surprise, Paul Pelosi's hammer attacker just was convicted on both counts before the jury, and he still has an attempted murder count in state court. The maximum on the both counts that he was found guilty of is 50 years, and I hope he gets it. And obviously, I think he's a little off his rocker, and he'll, in California, he'll get mental health care in prison, but he can't be permitted to go roaming around putting on a unicorn costume and then going, hey, you know, I just think I'll capture the speaker and break her knees. I mean, hey, you know what I'll do? I feel real bad, feel real bad about, it was Paul Pelosi. I really intended Nancy, gets on the stand. Enough's enough. Enough is enough. Another breaking news out there. Do you remember in Los Angeles in Thousand Oaks, the fellow that hit Kessler, that elderly Jewish man, 69 years old, in the face of the megaphone? He went down, hit his head. That individual has been charged with involuntary homicide at this point, involuntary manslaughter, which is what's called the charging decision. But they set bail at $1 million, and they're now revising the charges. And there's a very good chance he'll be charged with a hate crime and a much more severe homicide charge. This has got to stop. Attacks on Jewish Americans here on universities, in parades. Sometimes people run to restaurants to try to hit them. That's got to stop. These people have to go to jail for a long time. They have a right to parade, but they don't have a right to parade violently. We've had enough of this, and we're not going to become Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. Wisco Paul, what's in your mind today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. I just wanted to add one thing here. The people, or the person that attacked Paul Pelosi, there's plenty of them out there, and Trump's rhetoric and some of the GOP's rhetoric rev these guys up. They rev them up, and then, you know, they don't have any ramifications towards them, but there's damage done. And if they keep this rhetoric, especially with Trump's last speech, he could very well get somebody killed, and he hasn't even held accountable. So that's just my this whole thing needs to stop. Okay, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, well, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And also remember something. He did get people killed. January 6th insurrection was him. He was the one who ginned it up. He's the one that sent out the equivalent of a save the date card. He posted, come to D.C. on January 6th. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's a very big deal. And everybody, rumors spread. They came with guns. They came from all over the country. They showed up. He ginned them up with a big speech. You've seen that speech. Rudy Giuliani did. Mo Brooks did. All of his supporters. Go, let's go up there. You got to take your country back. You're not going to have a country. I'm going to go up there with you. Well, a lot of them, I mean, they were the real sociopaths, the killers, and they did go up there. Remember the one guy kind of breaking the glass to get in, and oh, Nancy, and hang Mike Pence. Remember that? Hang Mike Pence with the gallows. Then that one poor cop was thrown on the ground and almost kicked to death. He had a brain injury, and he had to retire. The only thing that saved him is he said, I have four daughters. That was Trump's fault. A lot of those people, if the president of the United States says, come up with me to a federal building, they'll go with him. They figure, well, he runs the federal building. He let us in. It's okay as long as the president's there. Then he peels off, and they all go up there, and they're in a frenzy. And you're right. He's threatening judges. He's threatening everybody. And I'll tell you what, in the Paul Pelosi case, the continuous attacks on Nancy Pelosi resulted in her husband, by a nut, getting his skull cracked by a guy who wanted to wear a unicorn outfit. That's what's happening. Well, what is coming up? Some very, very good stuff coming up. News, weather, and a really weird thing with Univision, the great Spanish language TV thing. It's coming up. You should got to listen to this.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas is scheduled to begin soon, followed by the release of some hostages and aid into Gaza. Saudi royal court advisor Abdullah bin Al-Rabiya.
We hope through actually this visit and with the help of our friends and colleagues from Egypt and the international community to see more pressure to allow more trucks.
Under the deal, dozens of hostages held by militants as well as Palestinians imprisoned by Israel will be released. CBS's Natalie Brand.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Britain's foreign secretary and spoke about what will happen next.
We'll continue with our war aims.
But the ceasefire could be extended as more hostages are released.
A church in Eagle River, Wisconsin gives back to the community by holding a free Thanksgiving meal to open to everyone. Tony Palmer participates.
It's people that really need a meal, place to go, to fellowship with other people.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A fugitive is now formally charged with the death of his 12-year-old son, whose decomposing body was found in a home in Milwaukee last month. The Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office filed reckless homicide charges this week against Romuan Moy. No one is sure exactly when Jackery Robinson died or how. Meanwhile, Moy is on the run and there's a warrant out for his arrest. Prosecutors in Wisconsin may Sunday get more time to file sexual assault charges. Republican Senator Andre Jacques is introducing a bill to extend the statute of limitations for sex crimes in Wisconsin from 10 years to 20. Jacques says prosecutors in other states have 20 years to press sexual assault charges. A similar bill passed the state Senate last year but stalled in the Assembly. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and middle teens by sunrise with a north to northwest wind. Quite a bit of sunshine into Friday. Highs in the lower 30s. Clouds are back, though, for Saturday. We'll see highs in the afternoon into the lower and middle 30s. Right now, it's 19.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5, The Tap, The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, what is happening with Univision? Univision was a terrific network, Spanish-speaking network, the Spanish-speaking programming. And you may remember back in the 2016 elections, one of their senior people showed up at one of the Trump rallies. And I saw the video of it again. It's absolutely chilling when you take a look at it. And he got up to ask Trump a question. Trump was very, very rude. And he said, "You shouldn't even be here, sir. You don't have a right to ask me a question. Take him out." And the guy continued to speak. This is one of their senior guys. I mean, it'd be like David Muir or something on ABC. And he goes, "Well, Mr. Trump, I'd like to know about," and a couple of guys hustled him out. They laid hands on him. They laid hands on his person, and they didn't carry him. They just kept shoving him out, and he had to leave. I took a look at that, and I thought, you know, that was chilling. That was chilling, the physical removal of a distinguished journalist. You may not agree with him. You may say, "Sir, sorry, I'm not calling on you. I'm calling on that one over there in the pink dress," you know, that kind of stuff. But you don't do what Trump did. That was the first tip off to me, not the only one, but an early one, about how violent Trump essentially was and how he kicked over all norms and not in a good way. Well, there's a piece just now, and this kind of blows me away, and I want to see how this develops. Piece just now, Univision has new ownership. And I'm somewhat suspicious of who bought it, because they are clearly pro-Trump and pro-MAGA, and they've done a couple of things. They do interviews with him and people who support him that are very fawning. They're not doing interviews of Biden or people like that on the Democratic side. And they refused to broadcast ads for Joe Biden during the time. This is during one of his rallies and one of the debates. Trump's rally, remember, he had a rally that's in parallel to the debate, which he boycotted. And Joe Biden wanted to put on ads on Univision at the time, you know, positive ads about Joe Biden. They didn't run them. They didn't run them. Look, networks want revenue. They want revenue very badly, but they wouldn't run them. Then they came out with this sort of lame excuse that there was some technical difficulties. That's baloney. That's baloney. And apparently there's another Spanish language sort of, I suppose, mini network, nothing like Univision, that's just outright, sort of like Fox, outright for Trump. Now, here's the deal. People have a right under the First Amendment to set up a network, like let's say Fox. They have a right to have a bad network. They don't have a right to libel people, because then they pay $780 or $90 million in damages. But other than that, their reputation should reflect what they're doing. Univision, I've always had very positive thoughts about Univision. You know, Univision, it's Spanish language. I lived in Mexico as a kid for a year and a half while my dad was doing research down there. He's a professor. He was a professor. And went to Spanish school, a Mexican school, and enjoyed the experience, learned a lot. So I'm disposed to be very, very friendly to that. But they got bought. And I haven't seen any information, any investigative reporting on who bought it. Who had the money to buy him? Was it a coincidence that whoever bought him is pro-Trump? Was that a coincidence? Was it a coincidence that this other Spanish language network that's cropped up is pro-Trump? I'll tell you what is not a coincidence. It certainly wasn't a coincidence that they had technical difficulties and didn't broadcast Joe Biden's ads. That's just dumb to even say that. That's not a coincidence. But if this persists. In other words, if the ownership group that bought Univision is actually that way, and they become mini Fox, they become, the word for Fox in Spanish is Zorro. Remember Zorro, the swordsman, Don Diego? Zorro was here. He put on a mask. This is in the 50s. It was terrific. I loved it. Zorro. Zorro in Spain, Zorro in Mexico. If this should not be Univision, if this should be Zorro, you know, there's a very, very large Latino population in the United States, and we're very glad to have them. I think it's important to get the message out that this is not reflective. What's happening with this kind of thing is not reflective of the reality of politics, good policy, or whatever is in the interest of their community. Go to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, I'm wondering, when in the hell are people going to wake up? Taking over news agencies who just coincidentally can't broadcast the ads of opposition. And all the lying that's going on in Congress, and they've got crazies like Mike Johnson running the House of Representatives, DeSantis? It looks like he's at least not going to run again. If he had any kind of ethics, he'd just say, "Okay, I screwed up," and resign. The Supreme Court's been bought out, obviously. When are people going to wake up and say, this is an attempt to take over the government of the United States and turn us into the policy arm of the extremists? And people just, I can't understand why so-called right-leaning, unaffiliated voters even consider voting for any Republican, given the kind of thing that goes on. What does it take? What do you think it takes to wake people up? I mean, I obviously I know, I'm aware of what's happening, but and I can't imagine people who watch any kind of news, even going through the internet and all the garbage that's on there, how you can't be aware of this. That just boggles in my mind.
Right. No, it's an excellent call. And I'll give you one prescription. I know people, and I'm sure you know people, who intend to vote for Trump, even now. And I know some of them who are actually good people. And I know them well. And whenever you talk to them about it, I don't get in their face about it, but you ever talk to them about it, they're polite. But they say, yeah, there are problems with Trump personally, but they like his policies. What they're really getting at, in my view, is race and immigration. And that is an undiscussed subject frequently. It's an unstated subject frequently. But when you continually, and this is only my view, but I think it has some legitimacy, when you every night on the evening news see evidence of more and more people just coming into the country saying they're refugees, then being released into the population, some of them being transported to New York, Chicago, the big cities, and going around being put up in hotels, and this keeps going on and on. I think that with a lot of people, there's an alarm, and you can say all you want about how in some respects, that can help the economy. Our immigration over the last, 70, frankly, throughout our entire history, is one reason why we're more prosperous than any other country in the world. But that doesn't translate in the immediate present. It really does not. And I think one of the things we can expect coming up is that, and the Senate has slightly changed on this, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Mitch McConnell and Schumer and a vast majority of Republicans and Democrats in the Senate had agreed on a package of a little over $100 billion for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the southern border. And by say the southern border, I'm talking about money for immigration enforcement. There has been a real shift in the last couple of weeks. And it's pretty plain to me that when they come back from the certainly Thanksgiving, but and then starting during December, Republicans are going to demand that there be a link between Ukraine aid and change in policy at the border, not money. Yes, they want money for that too, but policy. In other words, to reduce the number of people that come into the country, because when you come into the country and say you're a refugee under international law, which we subscribe to, you've got to hear them out, and then you can't just throw them out. But what happens when everybody says that? Everybody says that. A refugee is somebody who fears discrimination, usually based on his race and religion. That isn't the case with these people. A lot of them, it's economic. And it's the economic exigency crisis that brought my ancestors here in the 19th century, and probably most of yours out there too. But back then, you could come into the United States, you could come in a ship, say from Ireland or Germany or anywhere, and dock at the docks in New York, and there's nobody there to meet you or even care about you. And you had your clothes and a few things, and you walked down looking for work and hitched a ride into the city. That isn't the way it is anymore. I think, Jack, that's what it is. I flat out think that's what it is. Thanks for calling. Claire from Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling, Claire. What's in your mind today?
Hello, Matt. What you don't mention enough, my father-in-law was a political science professor at UW. You probably even ran into him. He's deceased now. But he told me over 10 years ago that the number one thing that's going to tear this country apart is the abortion issue. Now, I've got a lot of Catholic friends in the Madison area, and I live out in the country, so I'm surrounded with rural Catholics. And I've been flummoxed as to why a lot of them just cannot call themselves Democrats, even though they're fairly liberal-minded, good people. And one of them finally broke and said, Democrats are baby killers. Now, and Trump just said it recently. But these people have been indoctrinated their entire lives through their churches that Democrats are baby killers, and they just cannot call themselves a Democrat, and they can't vote for one. And all it takes is 3-4% of the electorate to swing an election. And a lot of these people, this is the way they believe, and it's their single most important issue.
Yeah, the abortion issue that you mentioned is correct, but I don't agree with you on the religious part of it. Catholics tend to vote Democratic more than they don't, and more than a lot of other groups. And let me tell you something. The state that has one of the highest percentages of Catholics is Massachusetts, and they vote for Elizabeth Warren and Ted Kennedy. The state with the smallest number of Catholics is North Carolina, and they voted for Jesse Helms. So linking it to any denomination, I think, is incorrect. It's true that the church leaders in the Catholic Church and a lot of other churches take that position. That's absolutely not true in terms of voting patterns. So some of the people that you will see voting, if you took a look at it by religion in this state, there's not a correlation at all, certainly not nationally on that issue. Okay, let's see. Karina, you're on the line, but we're about to go to another topic. So hang on. Do not run away. Calvin will get to you. Calvin will rescue you quite quickly, very, very quickly. Coming up, some good stuff. This is a very important issue. Is the Hamas deal to release the hostages legit or not?
The Shaw, WAUK.
Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 24-inch lamb chop.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matchman Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, how bad do you think Crooked William Barr was? How bad do you think Lying Mike Pompeo was? How bad do you think some of those cabinet members were last time Donald Trump was president? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to talk about somebody on Trump's short list for attorney general if he wins this coming November. And by the way, rest easy, he's not going to win. We have Joe Biden. I'm riding with Biden, one of the best presidents we've ever had, quite frankly, and certainly the best president of any president to serve right now based on his wisdom and experience. But there's a man named Michael Davis, and I had never heard the name before. But Trump likes him quite a bit. Trump likes him so much, he has him on his short list to be appointed attorney general if he wins the presidential election. And here's what Michael Davis just said recently. Just listen to this. Quote, "I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of the career politicians, including President Joe Biden, and every scumball, sleazeball Biden. I will help to pardon the January 6th rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, and also their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the D.C. gulag and in Gitmo," end quote. Now, there was a guy who was the head of the Soviet secret police named Laurentin Beria under Stalin in the 1940s. He was a sadist, a murderer, and he sent people to the real gulag. He killed people. He did whatever he wanted. But he didn't say explicitly what he was going to do. What he was going to do. Now, one of the things that bothered me more than anything else about Trump and even his running again is he's not even making any bones about what he's going to do. He's not even hiding anything. He says he's going to get rid of some of the Constitution and jail his enemies. But this Michael Davis is on his short list for attorney general. And you may say, Matt, look, now that this has come out, how can he be confirmed in the Senate? It only Mitch McConnell changed the rules back when they controlled the Senate. And for cabinet appointments and Supreme Court justices, it only takes a simple majority. There can be no filibuster. And if you think that 51 Republicans wouldn't vote for this guy, you're sadly mistaken. It's possible that they would. And I'm going to repeat again what he said. I have never heard such a shocking and candid exposition of what an authoritarian would do, ever. Laurentian Beria didn't say this. Quote, I will unleash hell on Washington, D.C., getting rid of career politicians, including President Joe Biden and every scumball sleazebag Biden. I will help pardon the January 6 rioters. We're going to deport a lot of people, 10 million and growing, anchor babies, their parents, their grandparents. We're going to put kids in cages. It's going to be glorious. We're going to detain a lot of people in the gulag, in the DC gulag, and in Gitmo. Well, I don't know how more explicit you can be. Most people deny that they put kids in cages. Most people hide it. But most people don't boast about it. Most people don't say they're going to get rid of people's grandparents. This guy is bad news. This guy is dangerous. And Trump is dangerous. Go to the lines. Tom McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. You know, just to build on that, it's important to remember that Trump in and of himself is not dangerous. If he had a Congress that believed in the Constitution, heck, if we had an electorate that believed in the Constitution, this guy wouldn't be able to be elected a dog catcher. But we have to remember that, according to recent polls, anywhere between 40 and 50% of Republicans think that it is perfectly acceptable. History, where that needs to happen, where we need to toss out the Constitution in order to enact an agenda. So that's where the true danger comes in. And I think Republicans, it's going to be a reckoning at some point, not just within Trump and his followers, but just the Republican Party as a whole. And I think you're right on the money when you're stressing that this is not about a Republican Democrat. This is about freedom versus fascism. That's the only way to sum that up. If you are for the Constitution, you vote for Biden. If you are in favor of despotism, you vote for Trump. That's the only way you can frame it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. You got to use the word. It is fascism. This is a fascist statement. It's a fascist statement. Going to put their enemies in the gulag and in Gitmo. And let me just say this. And this is an important thing to think about. When Trump first got in, you know, he had John Kelly eventually as chief of staff. He had Mattis as defense secretary. And he had a couple of other people that, you know, you may not agree with them on everything, but they were honest and they believed in the Constitution. One by one, they quit. Now, what happens if he gets in again? And this time he doesn't put in the people that he put in, but he puts in this Michael Davis or Jeffrey Clark as the attorney general. They'll overturn any election. They'll just announce their irregularities and impound the voting machines. And to get in front of the tarantulas and sort that out is not the easiest thing in the world. Well, what's coming up? A lot of news and weather, but also oral argument in the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the gerrymander and some surprising things that were said by some of the justices and some of the surprising issues that they face.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
AdoptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.